Okay, this is Monday, November 10th, and the topic this month is no tice. Did I get that right? Oh, notice.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of the essential truth of our being. Now, what does all that mean? That means that you are absolutely connected to everything in the universe, and that you are connected to this thing that we call God. And you can think of God as anything that you want. I look at God as intelligence, wisdom, health, all the things. I don't see God as a big superhuman being somewhere doing all this stuff. God is everywhere. And, of course, God is everywhere doing all this stuff, you see. So try to get that through your consciousness that you are connected. There is no such thing as separation, people. We are connected to everything that's going on. We are connected to every person, you see. So you have to really sit yourself down, connected to the trees, to the plants, to everything. You're just, because what we are talking about is life itself. And we talk about God, and God is life. And people say, oh, well, of course, a rock has no life. Well, that's absolutely wrong. A rock has plenty of life, you see. It's just not moving around the way humans do. It's sitting there. And there's nothing, I think, more secure in the world than a rock or mountains are absolutely wonderful. In the Bible, there is a little thing that says, I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills from whence cometh my strength. I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills from whence cometh my strength. Metaphysically, that means you're looking up. And if you take your eyes and you look up, something you'll feel going on in your head right away. And that's where you find your wisdom and all. Can you do that now? Put your eyes up. Don't you feel something different? Yes, you absolutely feel something different, and that's what we're doing here, and that's what we're, this whole teaching is about finding a new perspective on life, a different way to go through life, a different way to think of things, so that you are not puppets of your conditioning, or puppets of the culture you live in. And you have to be very careful with that one. Very careful, because we slip into the culture before we know it. Because it's very safe to do that. The culture dictates things to us constantly. This is right and that's wrong. You may do this, but you may not do that. It's all the culture doing that to you. We must learn to think out of the box of culture. Past all that into a new realm of thinking, a new higher consciousness that encompasses this whole thing. You see, we try to explain all this stuff, but if our consciousness is down here, you don't understand it. You must move your consciousness up to where, oh, that starts to make sense to me. If you only get a glimmer, if you say to yourself, oh, I see things differently now, you say, you've learned something. Most people go through their whole life and never learn anything. Never learn anything. And I have examples of that from the land of Nod, but you don't want to hear about the land of Nod. I may tell you one cute story that happened this week. Because they're living in a culture that they're afraid to get out of, and they think that's life. The culture you live in is not your life, people. It's just a culture. It's a little... The culture is made up to keep people in line. The culture wants everyone to think the same. The culture wants to say, you cannot do this. You say, Jerry right now is doing something that the culture will not allow. He's wearing a hat indoors. And he's a man. You see? But you may can't do that. That's just a cultural thing, saying men don't wear hats indoors, but women do wear hats indoors, you see. That's just a made-up thing, people. It has nothing to do with anything. But that's the culture we live in. We have to think past that. Does it make Jerry a bad man because he's wearing a hat indoors? I say yes. No, you see how culture dictates that kind of stuff to you? It's nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense. Years ago, it was an absolute sin to see a woman's ankle. You see? You couldn't see a woman's ankle.
Or girls in the
50s. Or girls. You couldn't see that kind of stuff. You know, does anyone remember the plantations in the South? There's a big plantation in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and it has what's called the Loving Arms staircase. That's staircases on both sides to get into the house, come up the staircases. Why are there two staircases? And it was a cultural thing. Women went up one and men went up the other one, because if a man was behind a woman, he may get, when she takes the step, he may see her ankle or her petticoat. You say, now is that nonsense? That's what I mean by culture. You see, it means nothing. It's stupid. So don't buy into that. Okay, the title is, of course, Notice. And last week, we talked about noticing things on the outside of life and all the wonderful, beautiful things that are out there that this world provides for us. And this is one of the things I talked about, I'm sure. Roses or flowers themselves, you know. Years ago when I was a minister, I used to wear a boutonniere. And people would say, why do you wear that boutonniere, Dallas? And I said, to remind myself that a world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. And look, I'll pass it around, you can all look at it, look down into it, look at how that no human being could do this. This thing called God can do this. We can't do this. No way we can make a flower. Now, people try, but they ruin it, each one. So last week was to look around and be appreciative and notice what is in your world and what beauty is in your world. And there's beauty everywhere. And I'm going to say especially here in California. Here in California, there are flowers, trees, plants, all that kind of stuff. So you must notice that and know that that flower is God. What we're talking about is the beauty. God is beauty. God is life. God is that flower. The same way God is here. I am God. You are God. We're all God. So we want to notice all that stuff that's on the outside. Not the traffic, not how many this. I was with a friend on Sunday. Of course, she's so negative. I see her just to bolster my own self, because I think, oh, how could anyone be that way? All she sees is all the bad in the world and how horrible everything is. I don't think the world is horrible. If it is, I don't know about it, and I don't want to know about it. I want to notice the good things around me and the beauty around me. That's what I want to see. So the beauty is there. So notice all that beauty. Notice all that stuff and know that all that stuff is God. You see? And people say the bad stuff and so forth. The bad stuff is there. But I can assure you it is not God. The human mind makes up the bad. The mind of God does not know bad. It just doesn't know it. It doesn't recognize it. People say, well, why doesn't God do something about that situation? God doesn't know anything like that. In the consciousness of God, there's only good. There's only unity in the mind of God. There's not all that other stuff. If all that other stuff entered the mind of God, we would be in chaos all the time. And we're not in chaos, you see. And that's why we can do it and we can say, coming back to God and so forth, we can find the peace. We can find anything that we want in the mind of God. So you have to remember those things. So what's going on now? If we notice what's going on the outside of life, now this week we want to notice what's going on in the inside of life. What are you noticing about yourself? Are you thinking the same thought that you thought a year ago? Or are you able to give that up? Are you able to notice that you have that same mantra going on and on and on in your life? You're the one who has to give that up. So you listen to your mind, you become a witness to your thinking, and you notice, oh, look what I'm thinking here, you see, and you stop it. Now I'll tell you a cute story about mind and what to notice about mind. I happened to get a call, well, I didn't happen to get a call, I guess I called the land of Nod, because my sister-in-law was having her birthday. And she says to me, oh, her friend Kathy Fessler was coming up to visit her. And I said, oh, well, tell Kathy. I said, hello, because I happen to know Kathy also. Kathy was a school teacher, retired now, has never been married. So, Kathy and my sister-in-law were out shopping, and Kathy bought a $6,000 mink stole. And I thought so too. Patsy said, well, I wasn't upset about that, but look how she can just spend money and do this, that, and the other thing. So she calls her brother, which was a mistake. Her brother, I've known since he was a small child.
Kathy's brother.
Patsy's brother. Oh. He's the first and only male chauvinist pig I've ever met. He's absolutely incredible. So he says to Patsy, well, Pats, you have to realize she sleeps alone at nighttime.
Oh, my God.
That went through me like a dose of salts, and I thought, if you have that kind of a thought going on in your head, what's it going to produce? What is it going to produce if you have that? He's saying in that culture, in the land of Nod, you're no good unless you're married. You're saying you're absolutely worthless unless you're married. Plus, tons of other things were going on in that. She sleeps alone. Very derogatory. Absolutely derogatory and absolutely senseless. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing to do with anything. So you have to notice, what is your mind saying? What do you take in? Now, of course, Patsy understood it, and that whole land and nod would have understood that. Oh, and you probably had that in your, you know. This is what you have to notice. What are you saying? What are people saying to you, you know? And what are you doing about that? Are you changing it? But you cannot have a big one like that going on and think that it's not influencing the rest of your life. That's influencing everything he's doing. Everything he's doing. By the way, this man left his wife and his children. The children weren't even talked to him or anything. He's living in North Carolina with another woman. Not that I could care, but here's a man who apparently has no honor whatsoever coming up with such nonsense, you see. Now, the sister, Patsy, believes it.
The first thing I would say that this woman with the mink stole has money consciousness.
Absolutely.
Now, there's a chapter in Your Word Is Your Wand that says people who do acquire money.
Yes.
Change their consciousness.
Yes.
To higher standards.
Well, you do change your
level.
Yes. I was at San Simeon. Hearst Castle. William Randolph Hearst Castle. And the docent was talking about how extravagant Hearst was. And he said one time he had all these people here at Easter, and he had the beds filled up with calendar lace. And I said, oh, I think that's marvelous. Mm-hmm. The guy said, oh, so extravagant. I thought, thank goodness, he was extravagant. He has the money. What's he supposed to do? You have the money, you're supposed to not be extravagant? I think everyone should be extravagant. Everyone should be extravagant, you know? And if I were running that place, I would take that docent aside and say, don't do that. Because what's that docent doing? That's called a mind virus. Now he's giving it to everybody that came through that tour. And they're taking it in and they're saying, oh, well, we can't be extravagant. We can't do that, even if we have the money to do it. You can't be extravagant. And that sounds like the land of Nod, too, because those people cannot show extravagance at all, because somebody will say, who do you think you are? You cannot do that, you see. So anyway, notice what is going on around you with these conversations. Notice what's going on in your own internal dialogue. You see, if you agree with that idea that you're no good unless you're sleeping with somebody, your consciousness is not very good, people. It's just not very good. The same way, if you think people are extravagant, how do you ever think you're going to get prosperity and abundance? You see, you just knock yourself out of the ballpark when you do that. You have to have a clear mind about what is abundance and prosperity. Now, you don't have to be extravagant, but you cannot say, I'm not going to be extravagant. You see, because now you're putting reins on yourself, you see. God puts no reins on anything. The universe puts no reins on anything. You can run as fast and as furious, and you can think as big as you want, you see. And that's what this thing called God is all about, to think bigger, better thoughts. Bigger, better thoughts about what? Bigger, better thoughts about yourself. Bigger, better thoughts about yourself. That's what this is all about. Learning to see who you really are. Learning to realize that this thing called God is right here inside of me. and wants to give me everything. Wants to give me everything. Does anyone remember the affirmation of that I love the best? I am being taken care of. I am being taken care of. You have to realize that you're always being taken care of. You cannot be any place where you're not being taken care of, because this thing called God is with you. And always with you. You see? So, know that you're being taken care of. When you know that you're being taken care of, you get rid of all those other little things that our culture wants us to believe, that we have to worry, that we have to fret, that money is scarce, all that stuff. I will never get a job, I won't, whatever is going on. When you know you're being taken care of, all that ceases, because you realize, oh, that's complete nonsense. Complete nonsense. You see? Know that you're being taken care of. Don't get swept up with the world that tells you, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that, you do. Did I tell you about going to UCLA? And they said to me, you may no longer thing because they're getting rid of Medi-Cal. Now, do I care about that? Absolutely not. Ananda, did I tell you that what my doctor said? Oh, don't worry about it, Dallas. I'll waiver my fees for you. Now, that's absolute prosperity and abundance. And one of the nicest doctors you ever want to run into, oh, don't worry about that. I'll waiver your fees. So, why does that happen to me? Because I know I'm being taken care of. I know I'm being taken care of. I'm not going to be pulled around by my nose because of this whole thing of health insurance. You know, tons of people worry. That's all they worry about. I don't have any health insurance. I don't have this. I don't have that. You see? And I told you the story about people used to come to see me. They don't anymore. And sit in and tell me that their job is absolutely killing them. Absolutely killing them. I said, well, why don't you leave? Oh, I couldn't do that. I'd lose my health benefits. I said, well, you're going to need them if you keep that. You're going to need those health benefits. Now, could you imagine going to work and so forth, and you're doing all that just for health benefits? That's no way to go through life, people. So you have to notice what your mind is doing and what's it saying to you. And don't buy in to what the world is telling you. You know? If you're being taken care of, you're going to be taken care of. No ands, ifs, or buts. And the most amazing thing is, if I can do it, you can do it. Because this thing called God does not show favorites. It's there for you. That's what this thing is here for. You see? And it does exist, people. Use it. But don't buy into all that other crap that's out there, you know, from these brand name churches and these institutions and so forth that tell you, you know, it has to be done this way and that way and all this kind of stuff. That's a bunch of malarkey, you see. Absolutely a bunch of malarkey. In my neighborhood, we have a church down on Vine, just before it becomes Rosemont. The King, you know, our Church of the King, or something like that. Anyway, it uses King. And it has a big statue of Jesus out front with a crown on its head. With a crown on its head. Now, people believe that. They see that. And they go, oh, yeah, Jesus is in heaven with a crown. How damn dumb can you be? How dumb can you be? Jesus does not have a crown, nor does Mary, the mother. They like to crown her all the time, too. I'd like to crown her. But this is, you know, you have to look at that stuff and you have to say, what is this doing to me inside? Am I noticing what this is? Now, I'm not that upset about it and all. I think, oh. But look how many people they capture. They absolutely capture those people. And people to this day believe that Mary has a crown, that Jesus has a crown, and that there's thrones in heaven, and they're sitting around on these thrones and so forth. You say, can't do that. You can't do that. You have to notice what is going on here. It religion is very strange, people. Religion is also very personal. You see, most people want to join a church or an organization because they think there's salvation through affiliation. There's no salvation anyway. We're already saved. We don't have to go through all that thing and save ourselves. We're right here. We are completely saved. So we don't have to do that to ourselves. That's another thing to notice. What am I thinking? What am I thinking about? You see, Raymond Charles Barker, a minister that had the Religious Science Church at Alice Tooley Hall in New York and used to pack it every Sunday, he had a woman that was in his church for 30 years. And when he went to see her when she was ready to make her transition on her deathbed, and she looked up at him and said, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to be with Jesus. He stormed out of the room and said, the woman, after 30 years, never got it. She never got it. Are you going to be with Jesus? I haven't the slightest idea, but I doubt it. I absolutely doubt it. Am I going to go to some place called heaven? I don't doubt that for an instant. I just don't know what heaven is, you know. I don't think it's the pearly gates and the gold streets and all that, like most people. By the way, in December, my friend Doug the Baptist is coming. I will bring him to class so that you can see, because he absolutely believes that God is in heaven sitting on the throne.
I might have told the group my experience. The first time that I was in the Christ energy, we were brought up, each hand that angel held, and we were taken up to a space, a pinnacle light world, garden. And from there you moved on into another temple. And it was a huge temple. And there were circles of 10 people. Like, okay. They moved you. When there were 9, they moved you into the circle and you became the 10. And this light came down. And it was pure love. It was half Christ and half Mary Magdalene. And you were just bathed in it and you instantly knew what it was. And then you were taken out of the circle and you came back. And that was it. It was like, wow. So it was just white light, pure love, and it just went to your core.
Yes. And the Mary Magdalene and all that is because, you know, it's a Father, Mother, God. Both energies are contained in God. You know, God is not masculine and God is not feminine. God is everything.
It's about duality.
Yes, you can't have duality. If you think, oh, feminine, masculine, that's duality right there. It's together, it's a blending, what they call a blending. And that's what we can do for ourselves, you know. We can blend with this thing called God. Now, doesn't that make sense? Think of a blender and you blend everything together. We blend everything together. And we can blend with God. And that's what we have to notice. Am I blending with God or am I not blending with God? And if you're not blending with God, then change it. Change that idea. You see, the whole idea in life is always, we think that we have to be right here. But we're always floating over this way. We're always floating over that way. But we have to notice where we are floating and say, whoops, wait a minute, I'm going to love myself back to center. And you just love yourself back to center. We were never taught that. We were taught, oh, we did something bad, now let's punish that person. You're going to be punished. And then we start to punish ourselves. Then we start to have shame and guilt. There's no such thing as all that, people. It's a merely, I'm off center. I'll just love myself right back. Makes sense to you? So give up that idea that you're going to have shame or guilt or any of that kind of stuff. That shame and guilt are man-made. There's no shame or guilt in the mind of God. There's no shame or guilt in the whole universe. You see? It's always in your thinking. So notice what you're thinking. Shame and guilt are man-made emotions that were made to keep people in line. You know, it was a great one for parents, wasn't it? Didn't they try to shame you or make you feel guilty so that they could control you? Don't do that to yourself. So, from now on, when you think, oh, and people say, oh, I did this, I did that, or, you know, I do things all the time. I'm still trying to stop swearing, remember? And that hasn't happened yet. But I'm not ashamed of it. I don't feel guilty about it. And I say to myself, I can do better. And I'm going to love myself back to center. I'm not going to stand there and say, well, I'm no good anymore. I can't contact God or anything because, you know, I swear. God doesn't know I swear. I'm the only one that knows I swear. And I'm a heavy swearer. You know, you would think I drove a truck. Yeah. But I stop, you know, I can stop and I see it. And I have to laugh about the whole thing too. I say, oh, Dallas. But I just love myself back, you see. I don't say, well, now I'm unworthy, now I can't get this, or now that affirmation won't come true, or I won't get that thing, or I won't, because I did. That's all human thinking. You have to notice, what is my mind doing? Your mind loves to torture you, you see. Your mind loves to do that. Why? I have no idea. So you have to notice, what is my mind doing to me? What is my mind doing to me? Is it telling me that I am a wonderful human being? Is it always holding me in the highest of esteem? Your mind should be doing that for you. And when it doesn't, love yourself right back to center and start over again. Till it becomes a habit. Till it becomes an absolute habit. You see, I ran into a friend of mine on Sunday. She's an actress. She was telling the story that she was doing some play, I don't know what play it was, and she said to the director, you know, I cannot make myself angry and pound that desk. The director said to her, pound the desk and make yourself angry. You see, we have to do that. We're the ones who have to do that for ourselves. You know, it's like actors saying, what's my motivation? Your motivation is you're getting paid. So you better do something, you say. That's true. That's what the motive is. These actors who want to say, oh, what's my motivation? This and this thing. It's Paula's new phone, people, that she doesn't know how to offer it. And we're going to have to take, and we're gonna have to take it away from her. Now she doesn't know how to turn it off.
And the curtain rises.
Excuse me, everyone.
That's funny.
Such an attention getter, that Paul.
Yeah. I had no idea who that was.
Let's use that iPhone as a metaphor for your mind. That's what your mind does when you're here. It starts to ring your mind. Why? To pull you away from the whole thing. To pull you away. The mind always wants to keep you from hearing what you need to know. That's why I repeat myself up here constantly, and I think of all kinds of different ways and angles to say the same thing. So eventually, it will slip into your mind. Because the mind does not want you to know. It never wants you to know the truth. If you knew the truth, the mind would have nothing, you see. It would have nothing. So notice. Notice what's going on in the inside of you. Notice what's going on in the inside. And know that you have that power inside of you that can accomplish anything. It can do anything for you. So start using that power. You see? Start using that power. How many people use their mind to keep themselves in perfect health? Mm-hmm. Yes. You have to keep your mind. You have to notice most people what's going on at the present moment with health issues. Flu shots.
Free
flu shots. Because what? The flu is on its way. Then I heard a thing, there are all kinds of new flus on their way. Please. You can't buy into all that stuff. You have to say, well,
I don't believe in it.
You do not believe it. Do not let it go. Say, go someplace else. But not here. I'm not going to fall for that. Because the mind wants you to fall for it. Oh, it's cold season, or it's this season, or it's that season. You have to let that stuff go. So notice inside, notice what you are saying, what's going on inside of you, in your mind, about the tiniest little things. Your health, your money, your relationships, all that, you have to notice. What do I think of my relationship? What kind of a relationship do I want, you see? Most people think that relationships just pop up out of nowhere. They do not pop up out of nowhere. They pop up out of your consciousness, out of your thinking, you see. So, notice. And I did explain to you the other week, notice is just a word meaning aware, become aware of what's going on around you. And when you become aware, when you notice, when you become aware, you become enlightened. You see, most people think that enlightenment is something that comes down through the clouds or the ethers or someplace and hits you all of a sudden. Oh, I'm enlightened now. No. You're not. You build on that. You have to build on that. And you build on that by noticing what you are thinking. What is going on the inside of life. So we know there's beauty on the outside of life. And we notice all that beauty. We notice the flowers. We notice all this stuff. So if it's beauty is going on the outside of life, it has to be going on the inside of life. Why? Because all things start on the inside and move outward. So if you see beauty on the outside, you have to know, oh, isn't that wonderful? That beauty is coming from me. That beauty is coming from me. This rose here is absolutely gorgeous. And I grow them. Now, if I didn't think beauty on the inside, I wouldn't see the beauty in this rose. If you can see the beauty in this rose, then you have to know that that beauty is inside of you. You can't see anything on the outside of life that's not on the inside of life. Does that make sense to you? So now you have to know, my God, I'm beautiful on the inside.
An easy one everyone could do is to practice having a relationship with water. When you take a shower, create a relationship with that water and ask for its power, its healing power. To regenerate you, reboot you, reconstruct you, find your own word, what you want to do, and ask the water for it. And it will come.
Well, this is the whole thing. Notice what you're doing. You're not just taking a shower, people. Water's just not pouring out the faucet here. What is going on when you're taking a shower? Do you feel that wonderful water? Are you thankful for that wonderful water? And do you know that that wonderful water is always going to be there for you? We're in a place now where they're telling us we're going to run out of water. That's an impossibility. That's an absolute impossibility. Do not buy into that. If you buy into that, there will be no water.
So see the water as white light pouring into your ground. A waterfall, white light pouring into you and just infusing you and going back to Mother Earth through the drain.
Yes. And we're one with that water. Exactly the same way we're one with God. See? There's only God. So water is God. And water is one of the... I think it was Ansel Adams said, if there is a miracle on this earth, it's water. If there's a miracle on this earth, it's water. And water is beautiful. The things you can do with water, I think, are magnificent. Not only take a shower, but don't you love the fountains and so forth? Mm-hmm. When you see water spurting up and going on that, doesn't it do something? Isn't it thrilling? You know? It's a wonderful thing. So notice not only what's going on around you, but what's going on inside of you. Because what's on the inside will outpicture itself on the outside. And now you know that you have beauty inside of you, or you wouldn't be able to see this rose. You would just look at it and it would be nothing to you. But you say, is there anyone in this room that doesn't think this is beautiful?
No, it's beautiful. So inhale. So know that about yourself. Everything you are looking for, everything you are seeking, everything you're trying to understand, you already have, and it's inside of you. It is absolutely inside of you. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.